Luke chapter 8, and we want to read verses 43 through 48. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, we skipped a couple of verses here to get to our passage tonight, but I hope to get back to that in the coming weeks. What we have in this passage, in a manner of speaking, I guess we'd say this is a miracle within a miracle. I kind of like that. In each place in Scripture where this is recorded, this is recorded in much the same way. We have the introduction to Jairus and his daughter, and how that that she is near death, and his beseeching the Lord to come and heal his daughter. And in the midst of going, we have this woman that has the issue of blood coming behind the Lord to be healed of her issue of blood. And then the story resumes with Jairus and his daughter. There are lots of lessons, I think, in this passage, and I'm just going to bring out one, Lord willing, tonight. And I think what I want to try to develop is the fact that this woman's faith overcame several obstacles to secure the healing that she desperately needed. All right, so think about this eighth chapter for a moment. This whole eighth chapter, or I should say from about verses 22 through 56 anyway, is specifically bringing out how that Christ is a sufficient Savior. Think about that. He's a sufficient Savior. If you're talking about storms on the sea, legion of devils possessing a man, a woman having an issue of blood, or a daughter who is dead, none of these circumstances prove difficult, too difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. So that means that He has power over over nature. He has power over the supernatural. He has power over disease. And He has power over death. What a glorious Savior we worship. What a glorious Savior that we have in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so this is, I think, one of the lessons that we're seeing, or we can glean from this latter part of the eighth chapter. All right, so seeing that we have such a Savior, seeing that that with the Lord Jesus, there's nothing too hard for Him. He has power over nature, over supernatural, over disease, and over death. How could we trust anything else or anyone else? I mean, really. How can we lean on anything else? How can we trust money? How can we trust, the arm of flesh? How can we trust anything but the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, He is a glorious Savior. It's as the Luke records, as he quotes the Apostle Peter, that speaking of the name of Jesus, speaking of Jesus, that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. If there is salvation, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's look at a few points here from this passage tonight, and then we'll let you go. Her faith saved her. All right? Her faith saved her, yet I contend at the same time that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that saved her. All right, and I'm going to try to develop that here in just a few minutes. First of all, notice something. We said that there are two other accounts of this, one found in Mark, one found in Matthew. In Mark's account, he has this to say concerning this woman. He He says in Mark chapter 5, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. Mark here, I believe, gives us a very important detail that we don't get in Matthew and Luke that we want to try to bring out here. This woman, Mark says, heard of Jesus. Now this is something we need to kind of savor for a few minutes. When she heard of Jesus, or she heard of Jesus, and she came. Now think about what this story says about this woman. Alright? She goes to the doctor. She has the issue of blood for 12 years. Now what this issue of blood is, I'm not certain, but I think it has something to do with her womanhood. Alright? There's no proof in Scripture to that point, but I believe that's what it has relation to. Anyway, whatever it be, she's had this issue of blood for 12 years. She's gone to the doctors. Every, you know, new guy down the, you know, down the pike that is hung a shingle outside of his door. You know, I'm in practice now. You know, she's tried everything. You know, and you can imagine, you know, somebody has an illness, somebody has some kind of disease, somebody has some kind of physical affliction, and I mean, all of a sudden, everybody knows of something that possibly could help. And this woman, I think, you know, she is grasping at every one of these suggestions that she has heard of out there, and every time she reaches out for these, they prove to be vain. They don't help her. They don't deliver her from the issue of blood. In fact, we find in one of the accounts that rather than getting better, she grew worse. Okay? So everything she tried failed. Now, she heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask the question tonight. I want us to think about this. What do you think she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think she heard? It says she heard of Jesus. What did she hear about Jesus? All right? So let's try to think now what we've read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, things that she may have been that she may have heard that may have been in her locality somewhere, you know, things concerning or things that were done in Galilee and more specifically in Capernaum where they are now. Let's think about this. First of all, maybe she heard of the palsied man. You remember the man that was let down through the roof? Remember we talked about that story, how that this man who's paralyzed, his four friends, they can't get through the crowd unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So they go up on the roof, tear a hole in the roof, and let him down through the roof. And the Lord heals him of his paralysis. Maybe she heard of that account. Maybe she heard of the leper that had been cleansed. We talked about that in chapter 7, I believe it was. Maybe she heard of the widow's son in Nain that had been raised from the dead. Maybe she heard of Peter's wife's mother being healed of her fever. Maybe she heard of the Lord turning the water into wine in the town of Cana, which is in Galilee. Maybe she heard of the man who had the withered hand being healed on the Sabbath day. Maybe she heard of that. Maybe she heard a combination of these things. Maybe she heard of the nobleman's son being healed in Cana of Galilee. Maybe she heard the story of the miraculous draught of fishes by Peter and Andrew there on the shores there by Capernaum. Maybe she heard a lot more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever she heard, it was enough to encourage her to lay or to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. It was enough to give her hope. And I'm going to show you here, Lord willing, in just a moment, how that this hope was truly miraculous. This faith was truly miraculous. Anyway, she had learned by painful experience that vain was the help of man. Okay? Like the psalmist said in Psalm 60 and verse 11, he says, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." The psalmist is crying out unto the Lord, "Vain, you know, help, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." Man, you know, is useless, you know, in a matter of speaking. Now, there are some things that just man cannot do. Amen? All right, anyway, she had learned by painful experience that all the efforts of men, all the wisdom of men proved to be a failure in her case. But now, she has put her trust and the saving power of Jesus. And I believe, contrary to some other writers, as I studied this over the last couple of weeks, this faith this woman possessed at this time, while the text doesn't say it, I believe was a great faith. It was a great faith, and I'll show you why here in just a moment. Now, she has such trust in the power, the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that she reasons in her mind that all she has to do is just touch His clothes. Listen to the text, to the verse there given in Mark chapter 5 and verse 28. For she said, "If I may but touch His clothes." All I have to do is touch His clothes. It's not like she thought there was some healing virtue in His clothes, like some superstitious thought here. I don't think she was superstitious. Baseball player, when he starts the season, he's going to wear the same pair of underwear throughout the whole season of baseball. You ever heard that? I've heard that. Brother Jeff, he knows what I'm talking about. A baseball player can be so superstitious that, they'll wear the same pair of underwear the whole season long. And I won't go into some other details, but anyway, they'll use the same bat, perhaps. Or they might, some might carry a good luck charm, a rabbit's foot or something. They might wear a particular necklace, around their neck. They think, they put their trust or their confidence in some charm. I remember seeing on TV some time ago, and I shared this before, about there are people in Turkey who, in all these shops out there on the streets, they sell this thing, they call it some kind of eye. And they believe that if you have this eye, hanging around your home or hanging around your business, it'll ward off evil spirits and you'll have success in your home and you'll have protection in your home. And all of this protection is wrought by this, this little piece of ceramic they call an eye. Okay, so I don't think this woman looked at the clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ as if to say there was some healing properties in the clothes themselves. I believe that what her thinking was is that this man is so full of healing power. All I have to do is to touch the clothes that are upon his person and I will be healed of mine affliction. Listen to what Matthew says. He says, "For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." She's not putting confidence in the cloth. She's putting confidence or has confidence in the man, Christ Jesus. And I believe, though the text doesn't say it, but I believe she saw Jesus as more than just a man. Okay? She saw him more as more than a man. So in my mind, such a conclusion evidences great faith on her part. And I might add here, and I don't think I have to say this, but I'll just repeat it. I'll bring back to your remembrance these things. But this faith here that she possessed was a faith given to her of God. This was a divine faith. This was a faith that she possessed as a result of the work of regeneration in her heart. Not only does this statement show that she has faith, great faith, but the obstacles which she must overcome to obtain this healing proves to me that her faith was indeed great. Let's look at some of these obstacles. All right, first of all, there was the restriction of the law. In Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even." All right, so if she has an issue of blood, it is according to the manner of women, she's to be put apart for 7 days. Okay? Now, for that 7 days, she can't go in the temple. She can't go and worship. Not only that, but anyone who touches her, again, is unclean. And as a result, they have to wash themselves, they have to wash their clothes, and they're unclean, they're ceremonially unclean until nighttime, until the evening. All right, in verse 25 of the same chapter, "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, All the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. So not only is she unclean, she's unclean. This woman is unclean for 12 years. Okay? Unclean for 12 years. And she's separated. All right? She, at the very least, she can't go into the temple to worship. She can't worship with the rest of the saints. And perhaps she is separated from the general population for the entirety of her uncleanness, or is supposed to be. And not only this, but think of what the attitude of the people would be if they learned that she is unclean. They learned that she's unclean. What do you think are they going to be excited that she's around? Because if they touch her, or anything that she touches, she sits on, you know, if they touch her, if they touch something she sit on or she's laying on, they're ceremonially unclean as well, at least until the evening. She's had this for 12 years. And so she's got to overcome the fear of the people learning of her situation to lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this is a great issue or a great obstacle that she has to overcome. This had to be intimidating to her. All right, a second obstacle that she had to overcome was the crowd itself. We already spoke about how that the man that was palsied, his four friends couldn't get him to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't get through the crowd, so they took him upon the roof, ripped a hole through the roof, and let him down into the house there before the Lord. We read some weeks ago concerning the Lord's mother and his brethren according to the flesh. They came outside designed to see the Lord Jesus, and they could not because of the crowd. And so, you know, there was word given to the Lord Jesus that they were outside desiring to see him. Anyway, though she had to overcome this great press. She had to literally press the press to get in to touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember also that she's pressing through people with her uncleanness. All right. So remember, she's overcoming the intimidation of the ceremonial uncleanness law, but she's also got to press herself through the press to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. A third obstacle that she has to overcome is the weakness of her own diseased body. Anyone who loses blood, and in this case, you know, she's been going through this for 12 years. An issue of blood that has not been stanched for 12 years. Anyone who loses blood like this is going to be severely weakened as a result of this blood issue. I've talked with people. I know a brother out in Arkansas that just recently had to have a transfusion because his body is losing blood and they haven't been able to discover where it's going. And when his blood count gets very low, he has no energy, has no strength. He just barely feels like doing anything at all. Anyway, this woman here, no doubt, was weakened, severely weakened, as a result of the loss of blood for these 12 years. And yet, though she didn't feel like it, and she had this great press to press through, her faith was able to overcome the weakness of her body. Another obstacle that she had to overcome was hopelessness. Remember, she's gone to every, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry doctor there is out there that she knows about. Every doctor that promises, you know, healing, some healing virtue, some healing, some new medicine. She's spent everything she's got. She's spent all her living to obtain a healing of the issue of blood. And after she's gone to see all these physicians, and they've done everything they know to do, and still she is not healed, every time it ends in failure. Every time it ends in failure. You see? Goes to this doctor, failure. Goes to this doctor, failure. Goes to this doctor, failure. And this goes on for 12 years. You know, after a while of, you know, a series of failures, you would just say, what's the use? It's incurable. And no doubt, I would think that the doctors themselves, you know, what the doctor stated to her, you know, had to be, you know, at times ringing in her mind, you know, ringing in her ear, that your condition is incurable. Your condition is terminal. It's eventually going to kill you, this issue of blood that you have. You know, that's those kinds of statements can really dash a person to pieces. I saw on TV, there's a commercial on TV I've seen a few times, this cancer center, where this woman, she was diagnosed with cancer. The doctor comes in, says, you have cancer. You know, and then walks out. You know, your case is bad, it's terminal. You know, and next patient, you know. That woman was distraught. And no doubt, this woman here was distraught from the things that she had heard these physicians say. These guys are the ones who, if anything can be done, they're the ones that can do it. And all they had for her was, I'm sorry, nothing can be done. I've tried everything I know, and nothing works. So she had to overcome hopelessness. She had to overcome this thought that it just can't be done. I can't be healed. I cannot be made whole. But this woman, after hearing of the Lord Jesus, no doubt hearing of many miracles that He had already wrought, this woman dared to hope against hope. This woman dared to put all her confidence in a man she perhaps had never met before. She dared to put her confidence in someone that she was persuaded had the ability to heal. And see, in her mind, I don't have to have a prescription from him. This man possesses such power, all I have to do is touch his clothes. He has such virtue that all I have to do is touch his clothes. All of the these obstacles to her faith, they were formidable. But every single one of these obstacles, which would prove to be a great discouragement to someone who has a weak faith, this woman's faith proved to be a great faith, great enough to overcome each one of these obstacles. When she heard the Lord Jesus Christ, when she heard the things that He was able to do, the things that He had accomplished, the healings that He had wrought, the miracles that He had wrought, she believed it. We said a few months ago concerning hearing the preaching of the Word, how that it should be mixed with faith. When she heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, she mixed with faith. She mixed what she heard with her faith given to her of God in regeneration. She trusted. She just not only gave a mental assent to the, you know, to the truth of this, but she wholly leaned upon the truth of this. You see what I mean? She believed Jesus has the power to heal me of this abnormality, this affliction. And she overcame these obstacles. Her faith, her trusting what the Lord Jesus could do for her diseased body, enabled her to persevere through these many obstacles that she had met with. I like what John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? is our faith that overcometh the world. And who is he that overcometh, he says? Is he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I think the woman believed that Jesus was the Son of God. She overcame a great obstacle. She overcame many obstacles between her and laying hold on the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was able to do as the Lord said. She was able to make herself whole, in a matter of speaking, by faith. Jesus had the virtue. It was Jesus who possessed the power. And it was this woman, it was by the faith that this man Jesus had given her, that was able to take that faith and lay hold upon that virtue and bring about wholeness in her body. She mixed with faith the things that she heard, and then she laid hold to the healing power of Jesus Christ. This woman exemplified John's statement when he says that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It was her faith that overcame everything the world was telling her. Her faith overcame that and secured wholeness to her body. May God bless us to have this kind of faith.